Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Sherry, are you here?
I am. My apologies. Okay. It wouldn't let me on.
All right. Our assignments from the weekend. Write a one-page definition of what a relationship is. Record and listen. Pick a relationship in your life. What do you project as the definition of relationship for the person you are in relationship with? How are your definitions similar? How are they different? Record and listen. Picture yourself as you are in a relationship. Write and or draw a description. Record and listen. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Hello. Who's this?
Hi, this is Helga in Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hi.
Hey. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, the first thing that I saw was that my reaction to all these questions around relationships was of fear. So, you know, and more than really any other assignment that I've done. So, so a part of me, or you know, ego didn't want me to even go near this assignment.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so that I, you know, wouldn't have a closer look at this because, you know, I don't know.
This is where it's able to make you suffer a lot.
Exactly, because there's a lot of pain around relationships, you know, mostly around relationships. I mean, no, I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, there's so many different kinds of relationships, but, you know, the ones that are in my adult life has been so fraught with difficulties and pain and suffering have been relationships that had sex involved. Yeah. So, so I really had to, like, you know, just really, first of all, be aware of you know, these reactions, these fears that I have around even looking at all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that part just doesn't want me to ever really look at, you know, what is a relationship, what happens in relationships, you know, all of that.
Yes.
You know, because you know, especially in intimate relationships, that's where, you know, in my experience, there's no other relationship where ego takes over in you know, massively.
And so again, of course, there would be huge resistance to looking at it because if you get any kind of clarity about this, that fear is going to disappear and all that torture is not going to be so available.
Yeah. So, and then I realized that I start to, what happens then, and I've seen that in other areas also, it's like I start to go into thinking about it. And then I start thinking and thinking and thinking about it. You know, it's like, so what is a relationship? You know, how would I define a relationship? But blah, blah, blah. And then I totally overthink the whole thing till I feel like, you know, until I like tire myself out and with no result whatsoever and, you know, just kind of drop it.
So there again, ego's technique with that to keep you out of having any kind of direct experience is to get you to think about it. So you go up into conditioned mind and noodle it for a while and probably think all of the thoughts you've thought 100,000, if not a million times. Right, and then, as you say, wear out the subject till you're sick and tired of it, and then go back, and nothing has changed.
Yeah,
which
is ego's technique.
There are
a lot of thoughts that I hadn't really thought of before. So it's not like, you know, it's like the same old. I mean, you know, I haven't really ever really thought of relationships or what that actually is. You know, I thought then you know, what does a baby, I mean, a baby is also in relationship to the world, but, you know, it seems like there is no other for a baby. there's just experiencing an interaction with the world, you know, and in my experience of relationships, there's always like me and then there's the other.
Okay, now, just to be clear here. So where did the thinking come in? Because that sounds very much like looking.
I don't know. I don't know if I know the difference between thinking and, I mean, that's, you know, I started thinking about these things, and then I thought about, yeah, what would a baby experience, and what is my experience generally in relationships, and, you know, and then it goes from one to yeah, anyway, and then I think about, you know, it's like, well, relationships involve communication, and that's where, you know, and that's where the trouble starts again.
So I project a kind of a combination of seeing something and then conditioned mind has an opinion about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And then it brings you around in a circle back to roughly the same spot where this is just not something you want to explore.
I see the resistance to it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did write stuff down. I did do it because I realized, like, you know, I mean, if there's that much fear, that's going to be, you know, this is going to be good for me. This is going to be good to explore that.
Okay, so here's the next next suggestion, and that is to do some two-handed recordings. Have you done that with...
done that with this particular assignment, but around relationships or one particular relationship. I've done a lot of two-handed recording.
So yeah. It might be helpful to let the part of you who it may not be one aspect of the personality, but just getting to... What is that? What is that? Finding that person who is not allowed to just be herself, if we can use that phrasing, in particular relationships. To let her talk about the fear that that she is subjected to in intimate relationships.
Yeah, I've done that around this one particular relationship that I was in for a long time. So I've done actually quite a bit of that. Yeah, I have.
Yes, around a particular relationship. It might be interesting to do it generally.
Uh-huh.
Not with any particular person, because that becomes about your relationship with that person. But to do it for you, with your relationship with you, regardless of whether anybody else is involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I saw in this one particular relationship, which I have seen, you know, throughout my life, is that part that you're talking about is just incredibly afraid of being vulnerable and open with another human being. Especially, as I said, you know, the minute sex is involved, which becomes then there's another level of vulnerability for me, you know, when I really go into that and let go into that, then I have a tremendous amount, the fear comes up, and then, you know, some part of me wants to push that person as far away as possible so that won't happen.
Uh-huh. So that's the relationship, right? That's the relationship you're working in now.
Mhm.
Yeah. With her.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of involving anybody else. Because this is her fear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is her fear. Yeah.
Right.
Vulnerability. Yep. And that key word, open and vulnerable. You see it most dramatically with sex. And where else is it? Where else does it show up in your life? So getting to know her, getting to, let her be more a part of your life. Instead of she's kind of in the shadows, then a relationship comes along, and suddenly all this stuff roars forward.
Yeah, you know, to me it feels like, you know, she comes out in the beginning, she's right there, and then this mechanism, you know, once like, you know, I go to that place of vulnerability and openness, this part comes roaring up, you know, I guess because it thinks it needs defending. So, you know, till what I want the most is gone. That's right.
Yeah. Yes. Good. You're really closing in on it, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This is good. Two-handed, okay? With her.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
All right.
Thank you, Helga.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Helga. Sherry, the thing that dropped in for me around that, which I think we've been exploring on retreat, is the difference between thinking and looking.
Yes.
That all of awareness practice is the ability to see, because what we're the conditioning stops us from exploration. And
mm-hmm.
So the ability to recognize that whenever that no arises, whenever there is resistance, if we look at the resistance, we are learning to look. You know, we're learning to see something that has been withheld from us to see, some kind of barrier that prevents
mm-hmm.
us from being all that is, and that
mm-hmm.
really is the journey. And what we're really looking at is how do we develop the capacity to see, and how do we recognize the resistance as a block to seeing, a block to not only seeing but exploring something.
Yes,
that's how we're controlled.
Yes, yeah. It starts to slide into conclusion. To knowing,
yes.
And that's when we can feel ourselves slipping into conditioned mind, trying to figure it out, analyzing it, wanting to own the knowledge of it. We've
mm-hmm.
we've left seeing, and now we're in conditioned mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Jill, and I'm in Philadelphia today.
Well, hello, Jill.
Hi there. Yeah, I guess one little story that dropped in around this was, the relationship I was looking at was with my mother, and, you know, it's changed a lot over the years, and she's actually sort of like a teacher now for me. Like I can really, all of my karma now that I am hoping to transcend, I can see in her that we're the same, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Where before
mm-hmm.
I was like, we're so different. We have nothing in common. She has nothing to teach me. And now I'm just like, oh my God, she's where
I am her.
Yes, it's shot. And I mean, it's, you know, it's just the phase I'm at in my life, wherever. It's just that we feel so similar. And and so I was talking to her and I said, you know, a good friend of mine is getting a divorce. And, you know, I just want to. And then she tried to finish my sentence. And we both said at the same time something completely different. And I said, I just want to be there for this person. And she said, give the person some space. I just thought that was so interesting. And because I have that impulse, too, that she has to give somebody who's having a difficult time some space and leave them alone and let them
figure
it out.
Which is why you're trying to practice being there.
Exactly. So it's just been, I don't remember what shifted. Well, I guess I'm older now is part of it, but it's just been such a joy to experience this woman in such a different way. We had such a difficult relationship for so long, and yeah, it's changed.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what happened when you both said exactly the opposite thing at the same time.
It was so surprising to both of us. And so it, you know, there was a moment of silence, and then she laughed a little bit, and then we just kind of moved. I just left it there.
So you were both very aware of it, but nobody actually called it or addressed it as a thing.
Yeah, and it actually, her response sort of surprised me in some way, because she's the first one to go to the neighbor's house to give them a casserole if somebody is having any sort of difficult time. And I think, yeah, so it's so that was an interesting response from her.
Yeah, yeah, wondering if she was projecting that onto you.
Yes.
Yeah, that she thinks that's who you are, that you,
yes,
you're not the one who takes the casserole. So that must,
yes,
be where, oh, don't you just,
yes,
love projection?
I know.
Just, I mean, it's like living in a hall of mirrors.
I know. Especially
with everyone we know.
I know. It's constantly fascinating. And then, yeah, and then, I mean, I could talk endlessly about what I'm seeing with her, and her brother is dying, and there's all this family stuff. And, yeah, it's just been, it's been so great to have practice and
mm-hmm.
experience in this way.
And so what I just heard in that may not be your experience, but I want to underline it anyway, is the ability to stop taking people personally.
Yeah.
And to just be interested in how they are to the best of our ability to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So instead of needing to have opinions about how people are when they lose people in their life, you can just be there watching, essentially, your responses or reactions to what's going on,
mm-hmm.
which puts you in a place of being there with as little judgment as is humanly possible, which can be a tremendous gift to somebody in a difficult time, rather than making ourselves one more difficulty that the person has to deal with,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
Yeah, and they had, I mean, parents, I mean, it's so funny, I've been terribly sick for 3 days and bedridden, and I have to say, like listening to the recordings, everyone says it, but it really, really just, I mean, I feel the most spiritual I've felt in
uh-huh.
a while from just listening.
On your retreat.
On my retreat. And so my dad sent me a text this morning that was just very fatherly, you know, and it just really struck me how there are these roles that, you know, fathers and mothers play and daughters and sons, you know, and that, but there's so much more than that, you know, that
yeah.
we
yes.
don't get a chance to really see. I never did until
mm-hmm.
something shifted where I was like,
mm-hmm.
oh, wow, this is, we're all.
Their lives are no yeah. longer just about you.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Such a big shift. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Amazing.
Well,
all right.
Continue to take care of yourself, okay?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
Lovely chatting.
All right. All
bye.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, girl. Feel well. The thing that was so exciting on a process level there, Sherry, is what you said about if we're paying attention to what's going on for us, if we're in awareness about what's going on for us, that's our best opportunity to not just be assisting in the situation, but there's a way in which that's true presence. I'd never seen it like this. We were looking at projection in the retreat as well, and that if I'm aware of my projections, then what I have is attention on awareness, and that's the
mm-hmm.
only thing that I really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is my experience.
That is my experience. And that's interesting. And if you couple that with an expanded awareness, which is it seems odd to say it, but that's the totality of any experience, because it's not just then reduced to my conditioning. But if attention is on awareness, there's a way in which I'm aware of what I can be aware of without the interference of conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly so.
Yeah,
yes.
It's mind-boggling.
It is. And I don't know this, but I suspect the result of that is that an experience, not in this case, if you're the one doing that, not for you, but for people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's
yeah.
an absence of what, there's an absence of the conditional.
Yes, the absence of the conditional and the absence of the conditioning. So if attention
mm-hmm.
is on awareness, it's not that I'm gone, it's that I'm paying such close, I am, the I that needs to be gone is gone. And therefore,
yes.
I'm completely
available. Yes, yes. And that's when a person experiences a lack of judgment and
yeah.
Acceptance and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm on. This is Debbie from Minnesota.
Hello, Debbie. What
Hi.
Are you seeing? Lots going on in your life.
Yeah. Well, when I answered that page-long prompt on relationship, I kind of broadened it to relationship with everything, like time and money and a person.
Help.
And what actually makes it a relationship. Like, what is
mm-hmm.
it that makes it a relationship? And if I'm remembering right, because I wrote this a little while ago, and I'm not with my book at the very moment, but if I'm remembering right, I thought that what made it a relationship was where I had formed a sense of identity around it. So it was like, there's a me, and then there's that, and then there's like this whole thought around it. Thoughts, a sort of bundle of thoughts around it that
uh-huh.
I develop a whole sense of self around, and that's what makes it a relationship.
Uh-huh. What makes it a relationship is it's about me.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm.
And then, you know, I mean, it would be a whole different relationship with life to be living it the way that you and Ashwini are describing, you know, when life is just when I'm just a vehicle, but that's
mm-hmm.
not my steady state experience. That is a sometime experience that I
yes.
love, but it's not a steady
yes.
state experience. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's this relationship, say, that forms around, like the picture I draw of my husband and me, which makes me laugh and isn't necessarily the most flattering picture of me in the relationship, which I'm sure is colored by conditioning, but also a lot of habit patterns around it. And I have formed, like I, quote unquote, have formed an identity around this experience of myself with my husband in the relationship. And I kind of laughed about it, you know, and it's not, I might want to live into a different image, a different picture of that relationship. That would be nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well.
Because, like,
well.
In mine, I mean, it was sort of like I was swimming, and then there was this hand being held out to me, and I was enjoying my swim. And then this big hand was being held out to me, and that hand was helping me to stay afloat as I swam.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'd love to be a little more, like, I was thinking it would be really nice to be a little more kind of interactive, you know, and like reciprocal
mm-hmm.
and all of those things. Yeah.
Well, and so it seems like what where you are with this is that you want to be in that, in your relationship with your husband, from that place that was able to laugh.
Yes. totally, to have perspective on how, you know, we were laughing with another couple about it the other night because one of them was describing his ex and how, like, she would make mayonnaise, but she would have to involve everyone in helping support the rest of her life so she could make mayonnaise because she'd make it by scratch. Mm-hmm. So in other words, requiring this extra help kind of thing. And we, you know, we laughed, but I recognized myself in that because it's like,
yes,
you know, he's helping me to make it happen.
The laughter is not derisive, right? The laughter is not cruel. It's not judgmental. You know how very dear you are, and how like you this is, and we can see all the reasons for it. You know, there are a ton of reasons that for all of the attitudes and behaviors and that sort of thing that got you to this point. And now you see, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no harm. It's pretty charming, actually. And I would like to explore some new ways of being in this relationship because it's time to grow. Yeah.
Right. Right. And, like, it's under stress, that's harder to do because I default to the pattern. It's just automatic.
Of course.
You know, and
it's
true. We have a little daughter, and he's really helpful, and he's just really helpful with everything.
He's a nice guy.
Yes, as you know. Yes.
Yes, I know.
Yes, yes. And I'd say, like, from a calm place with, like, an intention and practice, kind of like, you know, like, I guess through commitments, making commitments and, like, following through on them, just try to, like, retrain myself to...
Well, and if I may, because he is a great guy, and obviously you bring a lot to it, or you wouldn't still be working on this relationship. So, you know, it, not in the mayonnaise kind of way, but enrolling people, right? Because you can talk with him about this. And then he has practice. He knows. He understands. He understands we get identified and we go into old survival patterns. And so it's possible in that same lighthearted, accepting way to just acknowledge, you know, that wasn't the way I wanted to do that. And so, you know, even we could go so far as to say, you know, I apologize. And he's going to say, don't worry about it. I know you're working really hard to be different in that area, and maybe he'll tell you the areas where he's working really hard to be different.
Yeah, that's great guidance. Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. And,
onward and upward.
Thank you,
with
Sherry.
A sense of humor. You are so welcome, Debbie. Okay. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie. And, Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show.
Wow.
I know.
It flies. Well, it also, I apologize, it flies when I can't get on the bridge or whatever it's called. So anyway, there we are. What's next? What's now?
So yesterday we drew a picture of ourselves as we are in a relationship. And today, picture yourself as you are not in a relationship. Write and or draw a description.
Ah, well, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. We'll talk
to everybody,
tomorrow. Yep.
All right. Treasure yourselves.
Take care.